The transfer portal has opened. Michigan has been hit with some punishment by the NCAA, and just how you should be looking at the transfer portal as a fan of insert team here. Let's go. It's the number one college football show. What's up, kinfolk? Welcome to the number one college football show. I am your host, RJ Young. Thank you for watching on the Fox Sports app, YouTube, or listening wherever you get your podcast. Today on the show, I want to talk about the NCAA versus Michigan, round 85. I also want to get into a bit of what Deion Sanders has going on, and then a little bit more about what Deion Sanders has going on. But first, I want to talk about the transfer portal, which opened today, Tuesday, as we are doing the live show. I appreciate y'all for joining us here live. Also, we got 15 days for this thing to stay open, and then it's going to close. And this is always an interesting period because we expect to see a lot of movement during the winter period, right? The season has ended. Bowl games are happening for some teams. They're not happening for others. We got a playoff to play through. We got National Signing Day. That's kind of changed. And as far as the schedule is going to go, we still got National Signing Day in February. But the spring portal is controversial. It's controversial because there are lots of old heads that don't think that anybody should be allowed to transfer at the end of the semester. That said, I'm here for the player movement, especially when y'all made the rules and these kids are just going by the rules that you put in place. But because we're in this period where spring games are beginning to get played and guys get to really find out where they are on the depth chart going into the summer, you see a lot of movement. There were over 1,200 dudes in the transfer portal during the winter period, right? We normally see over 1,000 guys go into the portal. And for perspective here, 11,000 players in FBS, right? The immediate movement is one thing. Moving and being able to play right away is getting under the other people's skin. But anybody that's going into the portal during the spring is not necessarily somebody you're going to miss. And that's why I wanted to talk about this particular subject this way. If you have a player who was going into the portal and you don't know their name, you should not be worrying. If you have a player going into the portal whose name you know, but remember not playing, you also should not be worried. So let's talk about who you should be worried about if you are a fan of a few teams. Now, number one here for me is Ohio State, because Ohio State has put together an all-star team, so much so that even Ohio State fans going, if we do not win a national championship, we have failed. Because you know, like I know, top to bottom, that is the most talented roster in all of football. From quarterback to safety to wide receiver to running back to linebacker to defensive line to coaching staff, frankly, with Chip Kelly being added, you've got everything that you need to run at the Big Ten, even in its much more robust form, and make another run at the national championship. But you still are thin in some places, right? So Caleb Downs goes into the portal during this time, which will not happen. Just going to go ahead and put a permanent and absolute on that. You got a problem, right? He's the kind of dude that you should be worried about losing, okay? If Emeka Buka went into the portal, you wouldn't like it, and you might think about what that means for the room, but it's something you come back from. Meanwhile, the deep cut here is Josh Simmons, who is playing left tackle at Ohio State, and you're not really great there, and he moved over from right tackle, and he went from a dude that committed a whole bunch of penalties in his previous era to last year just allowing three pressures in the last five games of the season. The offensive line was also a bugaboo and pass pro for that particular Ohio State team, and you've upgraded. You paid Donovan Jackson his money, so he'll stay. You got in Seth Snaps McLaughlin in at Alabama, which I'm not really sold on, by the way, because that dude was botching too many snaps at Alabama for me to believe that he's not going to botch no snaps over there at Ohio State. And when you snap the ball to Lincoln Kienholz, I'm not always sure that that's Lincoln Kienholz's prop. That said, they have gotten better, and they will continue to improve. But that would be one of those guys that I would keep my eye on for the next 15 days because it's not out of the question. I just don't see it happening because you need him so much, and you're going to make him feel that. Then we can go south because I'm looking at Alabama, and people are looking at Bama going, they need to add a lot. Why do they need to add a lot? Because they lost a lot, right? Nick Saban retired at a time when the portal was closed. And because he retired at the time when the portal was closed, there was a 30-day period for which players at Alabama could insert their names into the transfer portal and go wherever they would like. This is how Caleb Downs ends up at Ohio State. But at that time, I thought it was interesting that Kalen DeBoer not only succeeded in getting Austin Mack to follow him from Washington, prize recruit, to Alabama, but also succeeded in telling Jalen Milroe, dude, you're going to get a shot. And not only a shot, you the starter. So let's act like that. And I got to see that in A-Day, right? Jalen Milroe was out there with the first team. He looked really good as their first team quarterback. And given what Michael Penix Jr. came back from, at what was bad at Indiana because of injuries and whatnot, and to Washington, the way he was rehabilitated into the kind of dude that nobody would be shocked about seeing drafted in the first round, but certainly is going to get drafted in the second, third, fourth round as an NFL starter or starter in waiting. Jalen Milroe's there. He's got all the tools, right? It's can you take care of the football? I put the ball on the floor and not throw the ball to the other team. Late in the season, you could see him really start to do that, particularly against LSU, that comeback against Auburn. And then he beat, by God, Georgia, which is something nobody had been able to do before he was able to do it. If he went into the portal, yeah, you should worry. The deep cut on that one, though, is on the defensive side of the ball. Malachi Moore going to the portal, that ain't no good news for a Kane Womack defense. Not at all. You know why? Because that dude was playing nickel or the star, right? And they moved him to free safety. You know why they moved him from nickel to free safety? It's Caleb Downs with Ohio State. That was the free safety. That's the reason you do it. I've also been hugely up on Malachi Moore for the last 3-4 years. My God, that dude can play any position in the secondary that you want him to play, right? He is another version of Minkah Fitzpatrick for me. Now, Brian Branch was also really good, but you get that. He's at Detroit now. Malachi's got that kind of skill, and you're going to need him to be your center fielder in this new SEC where everybody's going to be trying to throw the ball all over you because they understand that's the way to beat up on a Washington football team, right? Well, I should say a Kalen DeBoer football team when he was at Washington, right? I think if you can throw the ball on them, you got a shot. Also adding here, a couple of things that I found interesting as I was watching the A-Day spring game. Bama is already way ahead on what the college football playoff is going to be. Because you might notice if you watched it that the turf, the grass, looked like hard garbage, look awful, look bad. But that is because they are doing a new process for putting down turf because the new turf that they're going to put down is supposed to last them through December. Why would it need to last them through December? Because Alabama's planning on hosting home game for college football playoff. They way ahead on this. They are already going, hey, we need this to hold up in the winter in Alabama. Okay? That's what we need. That's not anything they've actually had to do. The other part about that I thought was interesting is Drake Kirkpatrick Jr. is playing defensive back at Alabama. Yeah, that means Drake Kirkpatrick Sr. had a kid. Drake Kirkpatrick Sr. is 34 years old. His kid, 18. That's how long we've been out here doing this. So if you feel old, you feel old. Also, good on Drake. You know what I'm saying? Making a mini-me who can out there and get it done. Excited to see what he can do. All right, going from Alabama back up north, talk about Michigan. And we're going to talk a lot about Michigan on this episode. But let's start with a couple of guys that you can't afford to lose, especially as you got your spring game going on Saturday. Alex Orji. I'm going to say it like y'all say it now. I'm going to try to do that without breaking a smile either. And Donovan Edwards. Those are two guys that I'll be watching, right? If Alex can show us, the public, that he is the guy to lead Michigan into 2024, it's gonna bode really well for what Michigan might be able to do in 2024, ostensibly defending their Big Ten championship and their national championship. However, if we don't feel good about what Alex Orji is doing, right, or even what any of the backups are doing, what's going to stop Michigan from going into the portal to go get a quarterback? I submit to you nothing, because Kirk Campbell is going to be watching this one real closely. I understand some of y'all are like, hey, the Michigan quarterback is a hood ornament for what they do in their run game until such a time as you need to make those play action passes. And Alex has been on the same trajectory that J.J. McCarthy was on, which is playing meaningful snaps during a college football playoff game where you're running the football, right? J.J. did this against Georgia. Gave everybody the thrill of knowing what was behind Cade McNamara, ends up taking that job, leading them to a national championship. Maybe Alex can do the same thing. Other one is Donovan Edwards, because this is more or less his offense now, because he's seen what Blake Corum was able to do the last couple of years. Before that, Asan Haskins. It is the same sort of power run game that Sherrone Moore loves to employ. He is going to look at Kirk going, this is what we're going to do. And Donovan has been itching for this opportunity. Like, he showed us what he was capable of in a number of instances, one of which is at Ohio State in 2022 when Blake Corum went out with the injury and he busted up Ohio State's defense for a ton of yardage. And then in the Big Ten championship game later that year against Iowa, He's kind of got a few more carries, but not as many as we expected in the 2023. And now it's just him. This is going to be what Seven wants to do. If Seven goes into the portal, yeah, I would be terrified for Michigan. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that's got as much possibilities happen as Caleb Downs. But that's the way I would look at it, right? If these names ain't popping up for you, don't worry about the transfer portal. Going to the Big 12, I am very high on the Kansas Jayhawks. Really like Lance Leipold and the Kansas Jayhawks. Okay. One of the reasons I really like them is because Jalen Daniels is going to be your starter and Devin Neal is going to be your tailback. Devin Neal is the best tailback in the Big 12 that nobody gave enough credit to. And Jalen Daniels has Heisman Trophy potential. We had to talk about him just a couple of years ago as a guy that legitimately was contending for the Heisman Trophy in October of 2022. Okay? He's got it like that. And Lance Leipold has been building toward this moment for some time. Now, what's going to be interesting for Kansas is they don't really play no home games this year because they are trying to overhaul their stadium environment. So they're going to play at Arrowhead and Sporting KC is where they're going to do their home games. But I think between those two guys in the backfield, you got every opportunity to run the table. It's just like that. Like they are good up front. They're good enough defensively. And Jalen can make those sorts of plays that we got to see against Texas, right, 2021. And then we got to see him when he's healthy make it 2022. And Devin Neal, I think, is on the precipice of a 1,500-yard rushing season. If it goes the way I think it can go, we're talking about Kansas winning double-digit games and playing in the Big 12 championship. Last player that I want to make reference to is also in the Big 12. That is Oklahoma State tailback Ollie Gordon, who this only happens in Stillwater. They throw a parade, they throw a party because that dude decided not to go into the transfer portal. Not to be too wild about it, but we saw Ollie Gordon run for nothing, not a zip zero against Texas. And that kind of took the shine off of whatever it is that Ollie was eating or doing during that middle to late stretch of the 2023 season. Because remember, that dude got all like 19 touches the first three games. Then Mike Gundy just kind of went to Casey Dunn and said, hey, hand the ball to the dude with the zero on his chest and let's see what he can do with it. And that man was busting people up for 200 yards here, 200 yards there, running them past Oklahoma. Mad about that. But not running them past Texas, right? I think he's going to be the guy that we're most watching to get early Heisman hype. And we're going to get to see whether or not Oklahoma State is about it. But also in there, you got Alan Bowman, who is going to compete with Cam Rising for the Wooderson Award, two seventh-year quarterbacks. Starters. Wow. DJ Burns, come on down. You know what I'm saying? Like 26 years old playing high school football. I get older, they stay the same age. But maybe that experience pays off for Oklahoma State in what is going to be a very competitive Big 12, especially because, well, we're looking at this thing and they got some new members too. They got Utah, they got Arizona, they got Arizona State, and they got Colorado. See how I backdoored into that? Yeah, that's what we like to do that here, right? We like a smooth segue. So the question I have before you is there really a target on Colorado's back in 2024? Why am I given this question? Because Steve Mariucci showed up to Colorado spring practices. Yeah, he of the 49ers, he who loves to talk quarterbacks, and told Colorado's football team via Well Off Media that there is a target on their back, that there are people that would like to see them fail. There are people that want to see them win. There are more people that would like to see them fail because of the attention that they have got since Coach Prime became the head coach, the University of Colorado. That is not going to change. So, yes, there will always be a target on Colorado's back as long as Coach Prime is a head coach who can still get us to pay attention. This is not a small thing. It's one thing for folks to talk about you after you beat Texas Christian in a game that said they were going to win, right? And then it's another thing for you to go 4-8, right? It's another thing for your number one player, Travis Hunter, to get beat up by Elie Iyanmar in Stanford in a game you should have never lost. But still, Elie Iyanmar completely sunned Travis Hunter in that game. Still, we're paying attention. Why? Because Coach Prime can succeed in getting on late night and broadcast television and talk about his book. I have launched two books on NPR. I have launched two books in New York Times. I have launched books on WNYC. I ain't never succeeded and launching no book on no late night telecast. And if I did, I damn sure wasn't going to be able to do it when there wasn't no season around it. Okay? Now, my books are about Black history and race, so it's not always the fun topics. But he gets to talk about his leadership book in March on shows you watch. That is why we were talking about the target being on their back. Now, it's also, again, the opening of the transfer portal. So we're going to see spring cleaning at Colorado, which is kind of what Prime does. He finds out what he has during the spring practices, and he tells dudes with a straight face, hey, you don't have a scholarship. You should probably go into the portal. And he's also very loud about, we don't lose anything we wanted. Everybody that we lose, somebody that we probably could do without. Which is another way of saying, if Jordan Seaton decided he wanted to transfer after first getting there, we might raise an eyebrow, right? Jordan Seaton being five-star offensive tackle, which is particular interest because A, it's five-star offensive tackle. B, it's five-star offensive tackle on a defense, or excuse me, defense, an offense that could not protect the quarterback. Not only could they not protect the quarterback, Shedeur Sanders got his back broke because the offensive line was so bad in 2023. It is the one position where I have been unequivocal. If they sorry at offensive line at Colorado, they will be sorry in the Big 12. That's it. We see him try to build this thing from the outside in with outstanding skill players, and it has paid off a bit. But there are only a couple of games where they got their asses kicked, and they truly got their asses kicked in them games. But they've been in every other game, and it's really about, can you keep Shedeur Sanders clean in this his draft-eligible year, right? This is a man who is also bankable, right? Like Travis Hunter is bankable. So much so that his daddy's already talking about what teams he might not play for in the NFL. I don't have that kind of swag. You don't have that kind of swag, but that's what we talk about when we talk about Prime and whether or not there is a target on their back. I'll also add, the numbers here are still staggering. Last year, we saw 53 players come into Colorado's football program. We saw 20 that were leaving after spring practice. We're already up to six on the first day that the portal opens in 2023. 86 new players from the 2022 team, altogether. So his roster is long from being completed, and I dare say we won't know what the roster is until the day before they got to play North Dakota State, which, by the way, ain't no easy win. I don't know which athletic director put that on the schedule, but that man needs talking to. I understand Rick George won Athletic Director of the Year, but I got to ask, dog, why are you going to bring North Dakota State to our house to play a game against us? We beat them? Great. But nobody's going to give us credit for beating North Dakota State. We lose to them. Don't lose to them. Just don't lose to them. All right? Don't lose to them. And if you do lose to them, don't lose to them on national television. Damn, Nick, this game's on national television. All right. So from that, I want to talk a little bit about the University of Michigan. And I want to talk about the University of Michigan because they are keeping up their tradition unlike any other, where they get in trouble during the offseason and try to bait yours truly into doubting them. Happened in 2021, ain't going to happen in 2022, ain't going to happen 2023, ain't going to happen 2024, okay? They saw Matt Weiss get booted from the program, just speed that one up. They've seen the offensive and defensive coordinator change over because, hey, sure, they have had the head coach suspended for six games, the offensive coordinator suspended for a game, and still run the table 15-0, win a national championship. Now, Jerome Moore in year one has had two back-to-back whammies. I mean, and the whammy put on him. On Monday night, we got news that Denard Robinson, yes, Shoelace himself, the last man to grace the cover of NCAA, the video game, right? The one we all still play because that new one ain't coming out yet and they need to speed that up, EA. Put that game out. Got pinched for the Michigan equivalent of DUI. I think it's called OWI. I don't understand why y'all need to have different nomenclature than us, but it's the same thing. It's driving under the influence. And because of this, Sharon put out a statement saying, hey, I've just learned what Denard did, and he is indefinitely suspended till, you know, they figure something out, which means that he's just going to be indefinitely suspended. He's on the staff. That's the reason this is a terrible look. It's also a terrible look because Denard Robinson is one of the names that we still know from Michigan, and it was kind of cool to see him around. The following day, which is today, the NCAA decided to hand out its punishment the University of Michigan. NCAA revealed it is punishing Michigan for recruiting violations and then lying about those violations in the form of show cause for 1 year to a few assistants, right? And guys that are already on the staff, and a couple of level two violations that we'll figure out exactly what the extent of those are. Sharon Moore may be one of those guys that is implicated in this. The thought here is that because Sharon Moore set out his one game, Jim Harbaugh set out the three games for this, that anything else that's coming should be in the form of what's on probation, because they get 3 years probation. So you got a national champion who's on 3 years probation after running the table going 15-0 in what is, shall we say, a controversial year. My super thought on this, superficial thought on this, not super as in power, is the NCAA just doesn't understand what we care about and what we don't. Like, I put it this way. I don't give a damn that Michigan violated these recruiting rules. Cheeseburgers? Food? No, I don't care. And you know what? Neither do you. You don't care. Even if you were an Ohio State fan, you don't really care. What you care about is cheating on the football field. And that is where the NCAA just ain't got no purview, right? They can't do nothing about that. So what are they doing? They are holding a grudge against a man who has since left the job and been changed to the NFL to coach the Los Angeles Chargers because he chose to lie to them and tell them what wasn't true. All right, cool. To do this in April, on the first day of the transfer portal period, to announce probation feels like a tactic. Feels rather unfair and calculated because perhaps with the bad news coming to Michigan, you're going to influence some of these Michigan players on the roster into making some decisions that they might otherwise regret. I think that's ridiculous. I would have at least wanted this to come out after the fact, like after the portal closes, or maybe before the portal closes, just depending on what the timing is. But the timing here just feels weird and ridiculous, especially knowing that we're going to have the NFL draft just over a week away. Like, this is just wild. And then you got Jim Harbaugh's attorney, Tom Mars, who's from around the way in Rogers, Arkansas, putting out these things going, hey, look, we tried to talk about this. We tried to get some resolution on this, and the NCAA just doesn't want to do. Which is saying a lot, because Tom Mars used to run their enforcement arm at the NCAA, and Tom Mars also represents every major college football coach you care about. I mean, he the dude that got John Calipari from Kentucky to Arkansas. I'm going to listen when he got something to say, especially to the NCAA, because you ain't got no subpoena power. Because you ain't got no subpoena power, you got your own members fighting you. So nobody likes you. So you still do this. I can't get with this. I don't agree with continuing to punish Michigan for what happened in 2023 because it's not going to affect 2024. Not really. If they suck, that's going to be on them. It's got nothing to do with the NCAA, who seems like they just want to insert themselves into a discussion about college football that no longer concerns them, and that is the bigger deal. We don't care what the NCAA thinks about college football. We need to sort that out. All right. That is going to do it for tonight's episode of the number one college football show. We will be back Thursday with our UFL show, where we will talk about our week three power rankings and our week three MVP rankings. Number one college football show leads of screening are Jack Coakley and Torin Westfall. They make us better in the film room. Additional support from Kiara Santana and Jim Cunningham put the special in our special teams. Producer Javion Duncan makes sure the recruits and the rivals see the cake we bake. Technical director Gabe Sable sends in the signal. Senior producer Catherine Cordati sees the entire field from the booth. Lead producer Tyler Wojak calls the play from the sideline. The play snap on my clap. We'll see y'all back here on Thursday. Until then, stay low. Keep those feet driving. Doses.